to At the Devil's Ball, the podcast where we talk about horror and genre movies in a positive and constructive manner. I am Samuel Newman, and with me as always is my co-host, Nathaniel Johnson. How are you doing tonight, man?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
Doing okay. Yeah.
So we are continuing on with our Xeno March month with Alien 3.
Alien 3.
From 1992. I was going back and looking over this stuff for this. Like, I forgot like how much everybody hated when it came out. But I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will.
Do you want to do the vitals and we'll just jump right in?
Sure.
All right.
Alien 3 or Alien Cubed. By the way, I have to ask you how you did, because you sent me a message over Facebook Messenger that you managed to get the little cubed thing. The 3.
Oh yeah, on my what you call it, keyboard, if you hold down the 3, it'll pop up with, like, you know, other options, and one of those is the cube thing. So
on your phone or on your computer?
On my tablet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. It's part of the Samsung keyboard, you know.
Oh, okay. I'll have to try it sometime. But yeah, I thought it was like, how did you do that? How do you
You
do
could
that?
Also, he's you a could sorcerer. Also do like fractions, yes. Sorcerer.
Yeah. He's a sorcerer. But yeah, Alien 3 came out in 1992. Directed by David Fincher, his first film. You may have heard of him. We have writing credits, a whole bunch of them. We have David Giler and Walter Hill wrote the screenplay, and then Larry Ferguson wrote another screenplay, or rewrote the screenplay. But there are 3 credited screenwriters on this thing. We have Vincent Ward, who has a story by credit, and then Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett, for creating the characters. Main cast, we have Sigourney Weaver returning as Ripley. And we have Charles S. Dutton, Charles Dance, Paul McGann, Brian Glover, Ralph Brown, Danny Webb, Christopher John Fields, Holt McColony.
Yeah, he's coming back. We did him in Creepshow 2.
Yep. Holt McColony,
yep.
Lance Henriksen. We have Christopher Fairbank, Carl Chase, Leon Herbert, Vincenzo Nicoli, and Pete Postlewaite, playing David Postlewaite.
Because when you got a name like that, you just want to use it wherever you can.
Yeah, but obviously Pete Postlewaite, veteran character actor.
Right.
And produced by Gordon Carroll, David Giler, Walter Hill, Ezra Swerdlow, and then Sigourney Weaver as a co-producer. We have Elliot Goldenthal doing the music. Mm-hmm. And then I think he's an important figure on this one. So Alex Thompson did the cinematography. And I think that's kind of the major players on this one. I want to talk about the guys who made the alien effects. I have to find them now.
Well, they brought H.R. Giger back to design the creature.
Yeah, he did come back on this one, and then however there were they did it on the other two too, and that's why I'm trying I want to find their names again. But they specifically did the actual alien, and one of them was actually in the suit, but now I'm having trouble finding their names, which sucks because I really would like to bring them up. But anyway, yeah, that's basically our main people.
So what's your feelings on this one? Did you like not like it when it came out, or
remember
like it when it came out, or
I think I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it on tape years later. I rented it along with all of them. The only one I think I saw in theaters, other than Prometheus and Alien Covenant. Mm-hmm. I think I may have seen Alien Resurrection in theaters, but I'm not sure about that. But I did rent it. And I remember liking it okay. And for years I was kind of a defender of the film. Because and I still kind of am, but not really. It's definitely, I think it's probably the least of them, for the entire franchise. But, however, my overall feeling about Alien 3 at this point is it's a kind of the platonic ideal of, a mediocre mid franchise entry. That I think all the best franchises have them.
Right.
If they're all gold, it's, you know, great, but they don't,
yeah,
it doesn't have the that same counterculture weight to it.
Right. And this coming off hot off the heels of, you know, two of the best sci-fi horror movies ever made.
Well, I mean, yeah, the response to it at the time is totally understandable. It's completely it's completely out of left field. But that's what makes it work, I think, in context of the rest of the franchise, is that if you're marathoning all of these films, Alien 3 is a weird duck, but it's not weird enough to be the weird one. That's Alien Resurrection. Alien Resurrection is the weird one. You know, Alien Resurrection is to the Alien franchise is like Superman 4 is Superman. Like, it's the one that goes crazy, which I love those entries. But Alien 3, I looked at it the same. I remember thinking of Alien 3 when... I saw Insidious: The Red Door, where which looks like it might have been a franchise killer, but I remember watching that movie and going, this isn't good, but it's not bad enough to be bad, I think, but it's also not weird enough to be the weird one. So I'm like, I hope they make two or three more Insidious films, because Insidious 4, Insidious: The Red Door is a perfect example of, you know, you marathon the series and things get a little dodgy here and there. That's Alien 3. Its major flaw, I think, is that it's kind of dull, and it just sort of meanders on and on and on, and you're kind of like, can we move this along a little? But yeah, I mean, that's overall my viewpoint on Alien 3, is that it's an interesting mediocre entry. Trying something different, doesn't work, but it's there, in the Alien franchise. What about you?
I always liked this one. I saw it in the theaters. This was the first one I saw in the theaters, I believe. Like, for starters, I never gave a shit that they killed off, like, Newt and Hex. Like, It always struck me as like something that needed to happen for the story to continue anyways, because like all the ideas that we've seen over the years of, like, you know, them bringing them back, or of the original Alien 3 where they are still alive in it, just seemed like, you know, family dramas. And it's just like, you know, what the hell. It's in keeping with the motifs of the series where, you know, space is just a cruel place that, you know, wants to kill you, and it, you know, the senselessness of it all, you know, really works. I know that's one of the reasons, like, people reacted poorly to this film, but it never bothered me. I always found it to be an interesting take on it, like, you know, putting it in a penal colony and, you know, having no weapons again. Going back kind of to the first one where, you know, it's one alien versus a crew of nobodies. And, you know, it's fun. It's, like you said, I think it does meander a lot in the middle. It's got a lot of pacing problems. Where they've, they front loaded a bunch of cool stuff, and they had a bunch of cool stuff at the end. And then, like, the middle, it's just like, here's the middle, you know?
Well, I think actually my take on it, and we'll get to this, but I want to jump on the Hicks and Newt thing. But no, my overall point of view is that there isn't a middle, and that's kind of the problem. With Newt, Hicks and Newt, it often feels to me, when I see that type of reaction, that it's sort of one of those things where fandom reacted to something, and then that became the expected reaction. And so it kind of snowballs out from there to the point now that, you know, that when it gets brought up for some reason, there is this conversation that keeps kind of occurring of, they should never have killed off Hicks and Newt. And I think I'm with you. I don't think I really care. It sets the stage for what they were going for with the film. Which is, in Fincher's direction bears this out, that it's supposed to just be bleak and nihilistic. You know, the Alien 3 is, and in fact, that could be a complaint. It's sort of like the, I don't want to besmirch Alien 3 by saying this, but it's kind of like the Zack Snyder Alien. Like, you know, it's the Superman that doesn't smile. There's not that Alien 3 isn't any fun. And
All
so
right.
and whereas Alien was a pretty intense film, but it still
Right.
had fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun to film to watch. And Aliens, of course, is a blast to watch. That's a
Right.
fun movie. So to go, okay, we're gonna go in the opposite direction and try to make it dour.
Right.
And then you could argue maybe they went too far going back the other direction with Alien Resurrection. But yeah, the Hicks and Newt getting killed off is a good way to set the stage. Yeah, I don't know if they had much left to offer as
No, I mean, it just,
characters.
it
Yeah.
just, they already explored the theme of, Ripley like losing her daughter and finding a new daughter, all that stuff. And,
Yeah.
and it felt like they already explored. And I don't want to say anything, blasphemous, but Hicks isn't much of a character.
Yeah.
He's
No. We talked about that last
everything,
time. Yeah.
right.
He's a
Everything in
lot of
his
fun.
character is
Yeah.
what Michael Biehn brings to him. It's
Yeah.
just,
Yeah. He was a fun character in Aliens, but
Right.
there's a reason why he spends the he sits out the climax of that
Right.
movie. Honestly, the guy they bring back for this thing is the most interesting, which is Bishop.
Right.
To bring him back for a scene, it actually adds more to the narrative than to have
Yeah.
Hicks or Newt running around. Even in the other versions of the script, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that this was a movie that, of course, went through a whole lot of pre-production nightmare
Right.
and rewrites. And
Well, they knew they wanted to make another Alien movie, but nobody wanted to make another Alien movie yet. So,
right.
they didn't have anybody who was like rip roaring with, this great idea to do an Alien 3. They're like, no, we have to make one of these because, we made money 7 years ago or whatever, however long it was.
Yeah, because as I understand it, the original, it was Golding, right? Or somebody wrote a draft that was predominantly focused on Hicks and Newt, and Ripley
Right.
was sidelined.
Right.
As I understand it. And from
Yeah.
what I understand, that script's pretty good. I haven't read it, but I know I guess it's out there. But
Right.
yeah, and then Ripley
Oh, there's
doesn't
a lot of
show up.
Alien 3 scripts out there, but I
Yeah.
haven't read any of them because, I mean,
Yeah.
I
The only one I'm
only so
familiar
much time
with,
in the day.
yeah, the only one I'm particularly familiar with, and I didn't read the script itself, but I've read the synopsis, was the one that was edited to make this one, the Wooden
Right.
Planet.
With the monks, yeah.
Yeah. But as I understood it, the original script was basically Hicks and Newt. They're found, the dropship's found. Hicks and Newt are brought out, but Ripley, they spirit Ripley away because she has an alien in her. And the company and the first two thirds of the film, the first third of the film is Hicks and Newt thinking they're rescued, and then slowly kind of it's like a Polanski film where like there is all these
Right.
secrets and they're and start realizing the company is hiding something from them and that they're actually prisoners on the
Right.
space station. Then an alien gets loose, runs around for a while, and then the third act is Ripley wakes up and kicks ass, and she, Hicks, and Newt are fine. The end. I think that was the
Right.
narrative that I read.
Yeah.
And then that was scrapped, and then they were like, well, we don't need Hicks and Newt anymore.
Right.
And completely wrote them out and just said we're just gonna do this Ripley story. Although I think there was a version of the Wooden Planet that Hicks was the main character of. I
I
think.
think, yeah, I think I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah,
Like,
that somebody was like really like Michael, it's Michael Biehn's time or whatever.
right.
But which I mean I'd watch. But
Yeah.
I would have watched Michael Biehn reprising that character and giving him more to do. But
Right.
Ripley is your hook. You need Ripley, I
Yeah.
think. That ultimately that's the right call. But I guess since we're talking about it, so can you summarize the Wooden Planet, the concept for us?
Not really. I don't
All right.
remember much about it.
Well, it's basically, yeah.
It was a bunch of like space monks
Yeah.
living in a wooden world, like medieval style. And they didn't have any weapons or fancy technology. They were like, space Amish or Luddites
Yeah.
or something. And
Yeah, Luddites.
then Alien happens.
Yeah. Then Alien 3 happens, except instead
Right.
of them being prisoners, they're
Right.
just monks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the I think the general premise was instead of the lead molten core or whatever, there was a molten core at the center of the planet.
Right.
That was like hell or something. And then the idea was that to get the alien down there. And I think Ripley's pregnancy, the pregnant with the alien thing wasn't there, I think.
I don't know.
I think the original script was supposed to be like Hicks survives, he's with these monks. And then they rewrote it to be Ripley instead of Hicks. And then over time it changed again to be Prison Planet. But they kept the fundamentalist dogma concept. And the visual idea of them all having shaved heads and you know, and being religious figures. I think that was all kept. We're probably not saying anything that anybody listening to this probably doesn't know. At this point. But it's good. It's good color because it does it does sort of set up what Alien 3 is. You know, I don't know if it would have been better. I mean, we can't look into the alternate reality machine and see what Wooden Planet Alien 3 looked like, but or for that matter, what Hicks and Newt on Space Station looked like.
Were struggling. They were struggling to figure out, you know, where to take the series next. And, you know, largely, like you said, the DNA of the monk planet is here still in theory in Alien 3. And I think with, you know, Fincher directing it, you know, even with all the trouble he had with the studio and them giving him new script pages the day of and you know, just interfering, and, you know, making demands of what they want in the film and what they don't want in the film. I think we got the best version of 3 that we could have gotten
It could be like Fincher. It could be like a Freddy versus Jason thing where it's like, you know, there may have been more interesting scripts out there, may have been more interesting films to be made, but at the end of the day, maybe this is like the best case scenario of what would have happened if, you know, and I think that you're right. I mean, I think that's why Ridley Scott just didn't do it. Right. Cause he was like, I ain't doing your bullshit, Fox. And
that he was also working on Black Rain, I think, at the time, or was that with Aliens? I don't know. I might be getting Alien movies confused. But it was partially like he didn't want to, you know, just be like a work for hire director, which is what, you know, how they really felt about this film.
Yeah,
and partially he had other things scheduled that he was doing.
Yeah, and then James Cameron didn't want to touch it.
Right. He's like, I already made my Alien movie.
I don't want to do another one. Yeah.
Right.
And then David Fincher was a cinematographer.
Well, shit. You know, James Cameron was doing Terminator 2.
Yeah.
I mean, he's.
Yeah, he had other things to do. He
had the right call there, you know.
Yeah, he had other things to do, but important things to do.
Right.
David Fincher, of course, was a cinematographer and a director of photography. Mm-hmm. He also was a award-winning music video director, I believe. Right. He had done R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion.
Right.
Was a David Fincher, I believe. Am I right on that?
I believe so. I know he did a couple of Madonna songs too. He did, I can't remember the Madonna song off the top of my head now.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah. He won. But I know he did, a lot of music videos.
And commercial stuff like that.
Yeah. But anyway, he was a work for hire, making that film. Let me see if I can just spot it real quick. That's producer stuff. I don't want that. He started directing Rick Springfield directors. And stuff. But he would go on to. Come on. Oh my God, he did so many. A bunch of Paula Abdul, Madonna, Express Yourself.
Did he do Opposites Attract? Was he the one who was in charge of the cartoon cat and Paula Abdul video?
He did a couple of Billy Idol. Looks like I'm wrong about the R.E.M.
Oh, okay.
He did Janie's Got a Gun, Aerosmith.
That's a very Vogue. Cinematic one. Yeah. Yeah. Vogue, that was the one.
Yeah. Vogue, yeah. Billy Idol's Cradle of Love. Quite a career as a music video director, and then Alien 3 is his first feature.
And almost his last feature, you know.
And very close to his last feature because things did not
It was not well regarded,
No, it
you
was
know,
not
by
well
the.
regarded, and they didn't like him. He didn't like them.
Right.
Yeah, he wouldn't do another feature for
Until
another
seven.
another few years.
Right.
Yeah, he went back to doing more music videos after Alien 3, and then he did Seven in 95. And part of that, the only reason why that happened was because of Brad Pitt
Right.
wanting Fincher on the project because
Yeah.
they were not nobody really wanted him to do a feature again.
Right. And I think they had a new producer at the studio that, you know, didn't like the old producers and what, you know, and wanted to reuse them as well, you know.
But yeah, Fincher comes on board with this thing and does well for, I think, for a first timer.
Oh yeah.
There are some,
But especially fighting through all the trenches of, you know, studio world. I mean,
The commentary track more or less states that he spent like a year like being beaten down until like by the time the film was released, he was just like this like
He was done with
pale,
it, yeah.
tired man who was just
Right.
sort of like, jumping at loud noises and was
Right.
like, he was just terrorized until he was a shell of a man, and then he had to recover. But because yeah, they talk about that on the commentary track, especially in the assembly cut.
Right.
That the so many changes were coming down the pipeline that even the actors were just uncertain if the scene they just did was actually going to be in the film or not. They were just sort
Right.
of winging it.
Yeah, they would build whole sets and then, you know, never use them and stuff, you know, shit like that. It's
There's a couple of effect
ridiculous.
shots that they spent a long time putting together, and it's basically there for like two frames, and they're like,
Right.
yep, that was the effect. We spent, 3 days on that effect, and it's
Right.
on screen for no time at all.
Spend $10,000 making it, you know.
I think this film was way over budget too, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, you watched the assembly cut.
Right. I watched both
Yeah.
versions going
Oh, you
into
did
it,
watch
but
both
I,
versions.
yeah.
All right, so did I. I
But
watched
I
the
prefer the
theatrical
assembly cut, you know, just, you know, barely.
one. Yeah, just barely. I mean,
Right.
I was gonna say, I think the assembly cut is the I think this was the first time I'd seen the assembly cut. I had seen the theatrical a few times.
Right.
I think the assembly cut is the better version only because like individual scenes are better.
Right. Yeah,
Overall, I'd
overall it's really insanely long for this sort of, you know, for this movie. I mean, I don't think it's a true assembly cut. I don't think they, you know, put everything they had, you know, into this thing, but I think it's close enough, you know. I think in the on the new discs they call it the special edition, not the assembly cut anymore. Which is probably more accurate because, you know, I guess that an assembly cut has all the footage you have, you know, cobbled together, and you know it's they're usually like 4 hours long, and you know, make no sense. And
Yeah.
did I lose you? Okay,
No,
sorry, I thought I
no.
lost you for like a second.
No, sorry. I was turning off an alarm. An alarm on my phone was about to go off, and
Okay,
I took a nap the other night, set an alarm, and
right.
now it was about to go off, so I had to turn it off. But
Right.
yeah, I think the that was kind of my main argument. I think our friend Paul had said like, "Oh, the assembly cut's way better," and I'm like, "I don't know, because
Right.
I don't know if Alien 3 needs to be longer."
Right.
And it is
But
longer.
a lot of the plot makes more sense,
Yes.
and you know,
There are actual characters in that one, like,
Right.
the outside of the main character, the side of the main handful, in the theatrical cut, they're all just a bunch of interchangeable ugly guys,
Right.
with bald heads.
Yeah.
We get very little information about most of them. There's a lot more to them in the assembly cut, at least some of them. There's still too many
Yeah.
of them, but
Right. Yeah, that was probably their big mistake, because they, you know, said they had, you know, a crew of 25. I'm like, that
You
is
don't need,
way too many people,
should have been
guys.
12.
Right.
Have been
You know.
12. Yeah. Or yeah, 12 total. Like, and that's what I mean. We have nine prisoners. They work in
Right.
three. They work in shifts of three. And then
Right.
we have our warden, our doctor, and then our warden's
Right.
toady, which they didn't even need the warden's toady. They probably could have
No.
just had the warden be that character as a composite. And that also
Yeah.
would have made Ripley the 13th. You know,
Right.
she's literally the odd one out. Like you know, she's literally interrupting the harmony.
Right.
You know, it would have been much tighter, and given you could have actually developed some characters and made things a little bit more interesting. But
Because
instead, there's way too many
there were
guys.
guys that I saw there that I was look, you know, actually keeping an eye out to see if I saw them again, and you
Yeah,
don't,
you
you
don't.
know,
Yeah.
like, you know,
They to the
there's
point where they have at least two sequences where they just sort of kill off three or four people
right.
in one
Like,
shot.
did we ever see Holt McCallany like outside of that one scene, like, you know, the big rape scene, you know?
No. Yeah, he gets beaten up. I think he's there, but he has a bandage on his head.
Oh, okay.
And so he looks
Right.
different, but I think
Right.
he is there, but he has no
Yeah.
lines.
Right. Yeah,
You
that's.
know, he wouldn't start really getting lines as an actor until like Fight Club.
Right.
And now he's actually in stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, recently was in actually did a really good job in Iron Claw
Right.
this past year. Playing the Von Erichs' father.
Right.
But yeah, he was he's there, and you recognize him, but he's not really a character.
No.
Really all they've got for these guys is outside of Dylan, who
Right.
is a major character, you've got which is one of the reasons why I laughed at it at the character's name, because you've got Pete Postlethwaite, who you know is Pete Postlethwaite. So you just
Right.
call him Pete Postlethwaite while watching the movie.
Right.
Even at the time, he was pretty
Yeah.
well known as a character actor. He'd been in a whole bunch of different movies. He's at very least a that guy. You'd be like,
Right.
oh, that
Oh,
guy.
for sure.
So
Yeah.
you'd recognize him on screen. And then there is in the theatrical, there's some lines given to the guy who survives at the end, whose name I forget now. Morse, I believe. Yeah, Morse. Robert Morse. Yeah. And that's kind of it. In the assembly cut, we do have Golic,
Right.
who is, I think, cut entirely in the theatrical version, or just about.
Well, not entirely, because I mean, he was the one who was, you know, in the infirmary with them when, you know, they killed Charles Dance.
Yeah, but all of his lines are cut from that scene.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Golic actually has a pretty important part to play in the narrative
Yeah.
in the assembly cut, in the sense that he's a complete nut job who decides the alien is the
The
manifestation of
dragon,
God. Yeah, the
right?
dragon.
And
Which, if
he
there's
just wants
anything
to see it again, you know?
if there's anything you shouldn't have cut from the
Right.
theatrical, it's probably that arc. It's interesting, but
Yeah.
it doesn't pay off.
Right.
So I get why they cut it, because it literally does nothing.
Yeah, it
Because,
pays off with him getting killed off screen. It's like we just hear him
well, he,
screaming, you
yeah,
know?
well, he lets it, out
Right.
in the assembly cut. But you
Right.
realize when you watch the movie, it never needed to be locked up.
Right.
If you watch the theatrical cut, you're like, well, yeah, they cut it seamlessly. The alien, we didn't need to actually lock it up and then let it
Right.
out again, so we could just never have locked it up in the first place
Right.
and
Yeah.
save time.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the assembly cut, their little fireball plan is actually successful
Right.
until Golic lets it out of the vault.
Yeah.
But then the same thing was supposed to be the conversations happening with Ripley and Dylan, where they're going to try and kill it anyway.
Right.
But it means they'll probably have to let it out. But yeah, Golic has this whole thing. But you know, then there are a couple of them that have a scene or two, but you don't know who they
Right.
are, even in the assembly cut, which is why,
Yeah.
again, it's like you should have just had nine prisoners. One of them is
Right.
Dylan. One of them is Pete Postlethwaite. One of them is Golic.
Right.
You know, one of them is Colm McElhinney. You
Right.
know, and then a couple of others, and you develop some, because Colm McElhinney is I'm mangling his last name, but he's interesting
Right.
looking.
Yeah.
That, you know, which is again part of my problem, is you got all these guys who all look the same.
Right. That's a big problem with the movie is, you know, everything is brown and everybody is, you know, bald
Everybody's
and
bald.
wearing the same clothes. You know, it's
Yeah.
just
Yeah. They all look alike.
right.
Unless they get some close-ups and some lines to distinguish them, they all look the same.
Right.
And that's why you should have had fewer of them and put like name
Right.
tags on them or
Or
something.
something, yeah.
Yeah, to differentiate them.
Right.
But yeah, I
Yeah,
mean, it's
it's not
yeah.
unusual for, you know, prisoners to have their names stenciled on their, you know, outfits or
Yeah.
anything like that, you know. So it's just
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a definitely stated they are in lockup. They just because they are the custodians and they have no real guards and they're all on like the honor system, they're still locked up at night, you know. You know, but and they're, you know, but I guess the implication is their prison uniforms have been replaced with more monastic clothing. Right. But what I will say about Alien 3 is I do dig the setting.
Yeah.
I do dig the setup. I like the idea of like we have this little shitty backwater prison planet.
Right.
That, you know, and the backstory of the planet's interesting where they're like these, there's a bunch of these horrible guys. They then find religion. And when they shut the prison down, rather than leave, they ask to stay on as the custodians of the prison.
Right.
And so they kind of have this loose little, you know, little prison system where, but mostly they just sort of police themselves and everything is kind of okay.
Right.
But they're they are still this, you know, crazy men, you know, they're not well, you know, they haven't been redeemed, you know, or rehabilitated. They're just behaving.
Right.
They're behaving in an apocalyptic Christian fundamentalist cult. And you drop Ripley in there. However, there's not nearly enough tension with Ripley being dropped in there. We do have the rape sequence, as you mentioned.
Right.
Was needed warning, because
guess,
it was,
you know?
It was needed though, because the movie needed something to happen.
Yeah.
Because there was
and
no real
something
tension.
That would probably happen, you know. It's just let's be honest, you know.
Right. They mentioned outright these are rapists, and we just dropped, and they say the warden's like, do not let her out of the room, out of the infirmary, because they will
they
probably try
let her out,
and they
like
immediately
just
let
let
her
her go
out.
Wherever. Yep.
Yeah, he immediately lets her out, lets her wander around, in the middle of a cafeteria.
Right.
She goes and sits down between them all and says, "Hi, guys." You know, it's a bit much, but there's not enough tension. You know, the assembly cut adds a little bit more, you know, of them kind of grunting and touching themselves, not touching themselves, but like grabbing their faces or their necks or. You know, that they're all like, we're
being
having
made uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all having temptation here.
Right.
But the, but overall there's very little actual overarching tension.
Right.
Which again, which probably would have been a benefit of having fewer men is that, you know, there's a few of them, you know, there's fewer of them, which means they're tighter. You know, there's a tighter community at play. But there's not nearly enough, like Ripley's not worried about it for whatever reason.
No.
Charles Dance isn't worried about it for whatever reason.
Right.
Only the warden's worried about it, but he's not worried about it by any sort of moralistic standpoint. He's only worried about it because it disrupts order, but there's no, how is it that you have a statuesque woman walk into a room full of men who are defined as rapists and not have tension. And it's really weird. And and it's something that actually Lance Henriksen stated in the commentary track. He only talks a couple of times. But he does state his main problem with Alien 3 is he's got no one to root for. Because he's like, they state that all these men are awful. And then he's like, but Ripley kind of works with them, and sort of forgives them in a way. Like there's no antagonism there that even Ripley doesn't come across as particularly likable in this movie or heroic even. And then, you know, but you can't root for the alien. You know, so he's like, I've always watched this movie and can't figure out who the hell I'm supposed to care about. And I think that's another problem with Alien 3. I think it's too nihilistic, you know, but yeah, I mean, you've got that major problem. Yeah, too many people running around. You got a setting that should be loaded with tension and it's not. Feels far too loose. And then you have, you know, other issues like, I think this film's biggest problem is repetition. You know,
The middle of the film is just like, you know, a slasher movie, like where they just, you know, the character pops up, gets killed, character pops up, gets killed, you know?
Yeah. And then long stretches of nothing. But yeah, the but one of the things I had noted this time around when watching the assembly cut in particular, it's like, and why I said there probably shouldn't have been the warden's toady probably did wasn't needed. It should have just been a warden.
Right.
Was you is that there's an argument about who's in charge like three times. And all of them end the same way, which is, well, obviously Dylan is in charge. And Dylan's like, I don't want to be in charge, but I'm in charge. But I will defer to Ripley. And that happens like three times. Yeah. And it's a room full of like 16 ugly guys all having this conversation again and again and again. That it's kind of like, wow, we really, and that's one of the reasons where the theatrical cut, I think, is superior. Is like I said, they do cut the entirety of Golic letting it out again because they just are unsuccessful in trapping it in the first place. But in the assembly cut, they are. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like there's this repetition that occurs in the second half of this thing that doesn't quite, that never lands. But also like repetition as well. Like, the first half of this movie, and we're going to talk about Charles Dance, who's great. Great character. But the first half of the movie is the better half in my opinion, but where it is, there's nothing happening, but there's at least some interesting world building conversation and, he's great. And then, but the thing is that, and this is why I say there's no real middle in this movie, because the middle is basically his death.
Right.
Kill him off. That's supposed to be the starter pistol. And then they go and kill the warden, firing the starting pistol again. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just did this. Like your middle movie, your iconic shot. And it's probably, it's if Alien 3 has anything above the others, it is that, that one iconic shot.
Right,
that has become
of the alien,
the alien right up to her face, with her pressed up against the wall. I remember, yeah, I remember seeing a trailer for it in the theater, for that, for Alien 3, and it ended. The trailer ended with the bitch is back, and it cuts to that shot, and the entire crowd lost it. They were just cheering and shouting. They thought it was the coolest thing they'd ever seen because the trailer wasn't telling you. What it was until the very end when it said, now, you know, coming in the summer, the bitch is back. And it just is Ripley and the alien coming into frame and shooting out this little thing at her. And the crowd absolutely lost their minds.
Well, they should, you know,
as well they should. It was a brilliant shot. If there's
and
anything,
the studio didn't even want to do that shot. Like you had to like run around behind their backs and do that shot. It's like, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the most iconic shot in the entire franchise, I think. Maybe, you know, maybe more than any other. That shot alone is there. I hope it's the card.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, no card.
The card.
All right. You know, but yeah.
I'm not a madman.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if there's ever an obvious, like, there has to be the card.
Right.
But yeah, the but yeah, the that shot is supposed to be the and we're off.
Right.
You know, and then we have another scene of the warden yelling and then him getting pulled up into the vent, which is what sets off the rest of the plot. So that's it's sort of like we're doing this twice.
Yeah.
And I don't it's little things like that that I'm like this. I mean, I guess it already had several passes of a script, but it probably should have needed at least one more, I think.
Right. To tighten it up.
Tighten this thing up. Yeah. Because it's all over the place. But I know they were writing it as they were doing it. You know, there were new,
which is never a good sign.
Never a good sign. New pages, new stuff being cut as they're doing it. You know, like let's say the actor playing Golic in the in the commentary does talk about specifically. Paul McGann is the one specifically stating, like, you know, then we'd find out, you know, the scene I just did wasn't in the movie anymore, you know, and we all just kind of ran with it. And did our best to adjust because we'd have to sometimes adjust our performance because a scene didn't happen. So, you know, we now have to keep that in mind. But the, but yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of problems, with Alien 3. Even the commentary kind of has its majority, the majority of it is the three guys who did the effects work and then, the cinematographer. And the three guys who do the effects work, they're kind of, not apologetic, but apologist, where there's a little bit of a, you know, yeah, there's problems with this movie, but we still like it and it's
Right.
still pretty good. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it's technically accurate, but and they talk about how it's gained in a esteem over the years, which is, I
Right.
think, mostly true.
Yeah.
That, you know, people tend to look more favorably at Alien 3 now
Right.
than they did back then. Not like Exorcist 3 good, you know,
No.
not that kind of reappraisal. Not yet, anyway. I'm knocking wood on that.
Right.
Because not tomorrow, Alien 3 will be like, you know, Alien 3 is better than the original, actually.
Right,
But,
yeah.
which it just isn't. But
No.
yeah, it's but yeah, I mean, it is a little bit, it's definitely awkward. But what's good about it? You
The
know, do you?
performances, you know,
Yeah, no,
it's
I agree. Yeah.
and the performances and the cinematography and the, you know, the direction of it that wasn't, you know, hobbled by the studio, I think is what this movie has as for its strengths. But you know, mostly it's the performances. I mean, you got Charles S. Dutton knocking it out of the park. You got, you know, Charles Dance, like, you know, just being amazing. And you know, we've got Sigourney Weaver back and, you know, doing great work here. Even if, you know, her character isn't given a whole lot to do other than, you know, react to
Yeah, I was
things.
gonna say that's the other major, if not probably
Right.
the ultimate problem with Alien 3 is Ripley's not particularly present.
Right. She doesn't have a whole lot of agency in this one other than, you
No.
know, at the very end when she's like, you know, okay, well, this thing's in me, I need to
I'll
die, you
die.
know. Right.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing is, like I said, there are these conversations where it's like, I, you know, well, you know, Dylan's in charge, and Dylan's like, no, I ain't in charge. Ripley's in charge, but that's the one in
Right.
charge.
Yeah.
It's clear I'm actually the leader here.
Right.
You know, which is why, again, I really do feel like they should have just had a warden character and you could have juxtaposed them, you know, in the way that they're these two leaders, and then Ripley should have been the more
Right.
powerful, you know, figure. Because you look at, you know, this is coming off of Aliens, where Sigourney Weaver gave quite possibly one of the most powerful female hero
Right.
performances in the history of cinema.
Right.
And then you follow it up with Alien 3, where she's sort of just sort of, you know, ineffective.
Yeah.
There is this this level of this decided lack of intensity from her in the movie.
She just feels tired the whole time. I mean, you know, just you know, and I think part of one of the mistakes they made in the film is, you know, I don't know if you want to say she actually had cryo sleep, you know, sickness, or if it was just, you know, the alien pregnancy, or if it was a little bit of both, but like making her sick throughout the thing instead of, you know, fully functional until it's, you know, the end of the movie, would have probably helped it a lot.
There's a couple of things in this movie that they should have kept doing and they
Right.
didn't. The third act of this thing has a couple moments where I go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be asking. Okay.
Right.
Like, when you realize at the end that Dylan, the entire point of Dylan and his character is the redemption arc.
Right.
You know, that was never brought up or carried through, but then the end of
No.
the movie, it's clearly there where they're like, oh yeah, I mean, this has been here all along, but no, it hasn't. I've been watching it. Like, it's
Right,
not
yeah.
there. Also, Morse, where they
Right.
make a one-off statement towards the end of the movie that, oh, right, you're the guy who has an agreement with God that
Right.
you survive. And then he survives the movie. And I'm like, why didn't we bring this up in the first act? You
Right.
know, like he could have had a couple of close calls this whole movie, and it would have actually maybe even added a little bit of levity, you
Right.
know, not necessarily comic relief, but a little bit of, like, you know, where he keeps just somehow managing to not get eaten, would have been an interesting element to add into the film. But then you said, like you said, Ripley, the big one that's missing is Ripley's, you know, having a hard time in the first act, and then
Right.
she's having a hard time in the third act, not in the
Right.
second. She's fine in the second. And I think you're right that, you know, a couple more of, you know, if you're gonna handcuff the character to weakness or exhaustion, do it the whole thing. If you wanted to sell this at movie as Ripley's not herself today, I think that would you could add some tension to the film with that. You know, that, like I said, if you would actually sustain the tension of, you know, being in a prison full of bad, bad dudes and she's tired and not feeling well, then all of a sudden Ripley's in a hell of a lot of danger and she has to try to pull it together. But instead, she's sort of like fine. As soon as she shaves her head, she's fine. And then it's after she kind of finds out about the
Then she
alien,
falls apart.
then she falls apart. She starts getting sick. Well, she does start getting sick a little bit before that. But right,
But
actually,
for the most part,
she first mentions she's not feeling well right before Charles Dance is killed, I think. And because she's about to tell him about what's really going on.
But
And
they,
she's,
you know,
yeah.
the problem is they try to play it down the middle where she's neither, you know, too sick or too well, and you know,
Yeah.
they just choose one or the other, you know, where you where she's either fine until the third act or she's, you know, falling apart the whole time, you know, it's
So there are weaknesses with Ripley, but they're not Sigourney Weaver.
No, none
Yeah.
of this is her fault.
No, she's doing well. In fact, they mentioned in the commentary she had actually just had a baby right before this movie. And Lance Henriksen kind of did say she was a little softer as a result, having just gotten off of maternity leave and returning to work. You know, she was, and again, I think like I think it's not as apparent with this one, not as apparent as it is with Alien Resurrection, but Weaver's kind of cashing a check to a degree at this point. She's not particularly committed, from what at least allegedly, according to reports and stuff, you know, and what's been said, that after the first one, really, it's like Bill Murray with Ghostbusters. He was just like, he was just, I'm not that interested in this. You know, that Sigourney Weaver is like, I'm gonna keep doing them because it's a lot of money, but I'm not that into these the way everybody else is. But she got her wish and died in this one. So apparently that was her idea. She wanted to do that in Aliens. She had to Jim Cameron and said, I want to die in this one. And he was like, you can't die in this one. You know, and she also, I think she wanted to have sex with an alien, which she does next week. And then I can't remember what the third one was, but they were all things she got to do
Later on.
later on. She all wanted to do them in Aliens, and Jim Cameron told her no, and then she actually ended up doing them in later films. I can't remember what the third one was. Maybe it was Shave Her Head. I
It
can't
could be.
remember. Yeah, but it was either way. James Cameron told her no, and but she got her way later, being a producer on the film. She was able to kind of make some choices. And you can tell that she wasn't supposed to die in the original script too, the way this thing ends.
It's
Yeah,
It's
but
kind of abrupt, you know.
yeah, with the
What are your
Jesus
thoughts
pose.
on the Jesus pose was just a little too much.
Yeah.
I realize that it wasn't as overused as it would later become, but it's still
Yeah.
like, come on, guys, you can do better
Yeah.
than this, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why I think I prefer the theatrical cut where it comes out of her. Because then she goes in holding it, like a baby.
Cradling
She
it, yeah.
pulls it to her neck to grab it down. I think that image looks a lot better than
Yeah,
the
it
straight up
does, you
Jesus
know.
pose.
And let's be
Yeah.
honest, neither of those images look too well because, you know, the compositing just didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is like the heartbeat right before CGI. Like, the assembly cut has some digitally corrected work in it, but they talked about a lot on the commentary track where they were like, there was one CGI shot in this movie, and it's basically, I think, the ending. And they were like, we just didn't have access to it. So, you know, but right after, you know, like 93, we start getting into the digital, you know, Terminator 2, James Cameron, you know, like, you know, it's start we start getting it. They didn't have it with Alien 3.
There's
And
a couple of
so,
shots
yeah.
of the alien that are CGI as well, and you know, you could I don't I never fault CGI for being dated in the day that it was, you know, made, because that's like, you know, holding all special effects accountable for the era in which they were made.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like
No.
they did, unless they're like janky for the time. And I think a lot of the compositing on these effect shots are janky for the time.
I think
They
some of it
look
was rushed.
out of play. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was rushed or interfered with,
Right.
both of which are actually likely, considering the story about how this film was made.
Right.
But yeah, I think I agree with you. Well, I think the major CGI shots that you see in the assembly cut with the alien are the corrected.
Right.
Because I think they said in the commentary, like when the alien jumps out of the ox in the it's an oxen
Right. Right.
in the assembly cut, they originally had a puppet,
Right.
and it looked like shit.
Yeah. And then they tried to put a
They
costume on
had
a
a
dog
dog,
and the,
yeah.
yeah.
They had a little dog, and the dog was terrified of it.
Right.
And in fact, the only reason why PETA, not PETA, the Humane Society was on
Right.
set. You know how they always say animals are
Yeah.
protected.
Yeah.
The only reason they were even there was because of the dog,
Right.
because they had to
And
shave its face.
if you haven't seen the footage of the dog as the alien, go
Yeah.
look it up because it's fucking adorable.
Yeah.
It does not work at all. It's fucking
No.
silly, but it's also adorable because it's like this little dog running around, you know?
Yeah. So I think the assembly cut, what they do is they add in the CGI alien
Right.
to
Yeah, they're like
make
over
that
some of the
shot
stuff.
work.
Right.
Yeah, because they had like a combination of a puppet and a dog, and neither worked. But yeah, it's I do prefer the oxen birth
Right.
to the dog birth.
Yeah.
But the which was added later, that was a reshoot, I think,
Right.
for the theatrical. First of all, I mean, I don't like seeing dogs killed in movies,
Right.
but secondly, I just think the ox thing and the scene in itself preceding it is much better.
Right.
Two guys talking about again the tension that we never get, because they're basically
Yeah.
talking about how they're going to attempt to sexually assault Ripley
Right.
in the scene.
Yep.
It's supposed to be adding to the danger, but instead it's not.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's there are good. I think the alien for the most part delivers in this movie.
Yeah. It's a cool alien,
What little we see of it.
And this is the first time we've seen a kind of a different kind of alien, you know.
Yeah.
It's a,
Yeah,
well, I
they
guess
make
not
some.
because the last movie we had Queen, but we have like an alien that was birthed from a different animal and therefore looks different, you know.
Right. The host organism was not human,
Right.
so it's a little bit different. But yeah, it delivers. I think it's a pretty good looking monster, the dragon. And then, yeah, like we said, there are at the very least, there are two really solid main positives, which are the
Right.
two Charles.
Yeah.
Dylan is a fascinating character. He's very,
Right.
very interesting. And like I think I told you and Paul on my on an instant message,
Right.
that I love the line of I'm gonna re-educate some of the brothers.
Yeah.
Take off. I gotta re-educate some of the brothers, discuss some
Right.
matters of the spirit. And he's like hitting them in the head with a pipe.
Yeah.
And
Right.
the pipe has a piece of skull on the end of it.
Yeah.
It's
It's not pretty. Like I'm pretty
yeah.
sure he kills one guy 'cause he hits him like 20 times, you
Yeah,
know.
he does kill one of them, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he doesn't kill them, he's severely injured them.
Right.
But yeah, the just the idea that he is a tolerant man, but not a nice one.
Right.
He's like, no, seriously, I murder people.
Right.
Like, I rape women. I am
Yeah.
I'm a bad, bad man. I just happen to have a higher calling now, but don't push it.
Right.
You
You don't want to
know,
know me, sister, you know.
you don't want to know me. Yeah. We are not friends, and they never are.
No.
It's one of the things I do admire about the film is that they carry that conviction.
Right.
He's like we like him, but he's
Yeah.
not a likable character.
No.
He inspires confidence, but he's not a likable
Right.
man.
And you can see why he's, the leader
The
of
leader.
the prisoners, it's
Yeah.
he exudes, confidence and like, he just knows what he's doing and
He's a preacher. He's the leader of
yeah,
the congregation.
right.
But he's also this, big, huge physical presence on
Right.
screen. It's similar, it kind of similar to like Yaphet Kotto in the first film. Like he just brings size to the table that
Right.
that's part of the reason why I think we gravitate to Parker a little bit in that last act of Alien, is because he seems to be a physical threat to the
Presence,
alien.
yeah.
He turns out to not be,
Right.
in this case we get a little bit of it. I think probably my second favorite part of the movie is him holding the alien under the lead and shouting, "Yeah,
And
all you got? Is that all you got,
yeah,
motherfucker?" As he's punching it in the face. I mean, like,
you can't fight harder, you know.
yeah, he's punching it in the head,
Right.
while it's eating him. You got to admire that.
Yeah.
Even though that ending is baffling,
Right.
and again, it's another issue about Alien 3 is that this whole ending is based around hot and cold,
Right.
fire and water. That motif is not throughout the rest of the movie, and I'm like, Fincher,
No,
you couldn't have
no.
thrown some blues in there just to
Right.
create some juxtaposition,
And you know, they had every chance because they're, you know, in a
They
lead
talk about how cold it is
refinery.
outside.
And
Yeah.
yeah, they talk about how it's 40 below outside. You know, it's you got everything you need. You know, you could
Yeah.
have just made it a
Some
motif and it
a
would
little
work,
bit
you
of
know.
lights. Yeah, a little
Right.
bit of some blues to offset
Right.
the brown and red.
Yeah.
Some blues and greens to cool some things off. I mean, just to set that up.
Right.
But
I mean, I give him props for not going, you know, blue everything like, you know, Aliens did, you know, it's, you know, but
Yeah.
this film is so muddy that it's like, you
Yeah.
know,
It's so bland looking too.
right.
That
Like
brown, it just
it's
gets, yeah.
shot what it's shot, you know, immaculately,
Yes. Yeah.
but
Photography is wonderful.
its color tone needs something else in it. You know, it's just a
Something to break it
it just
up.
weighs it just weighs down on you after a
Yeah.
while, you know.
Yeah, you're just watching. It's muddy is a good way to put it, where it's like watching, it's like literally watching brown paint dry. I mean,
Right.
it's so visually uninteresting, except the photography is excellent.
Yeah.
The lighting is excellent, but
Right.
you need some other color other than like reds and
Right.
browns. I get that they're trying to create heat, but I'm like,
Yeah.
some cold would have helped.
Right.
Maybe some blues in the infirmary, some blues in the mess hall, some cooler places. And then when those things are violated, you
Right.
don't go back to them.
Yeah.
It
That'd have been
there's all these
cool.
things that could have been done to set up that ending. But because also being more so also out of nowhere kind of remembers his basic physics, and it's the only reason why the
Cold,
alien is
cold versus
killed.
hot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hot, so if you actually spray it down with cold water, it'll probably explode because it's
Right.
gonna soup go from super heat to super cold. And that doesn't go well for anything.
No.
It's not established. There's no
No.
setup for that. There's no foreshadowing. It's not like
Right. It's just a thing that
it's
happens,
just
you
a
know.
thing that happens because they needed to kill it off.
Right.
In fact, they barely remember that they're in a lead factory or whatever, they mentioned at the beginning, and it's not really brought
Right.
up again till towards the end.
Right.
In fact, I would think if I was going to kill the alien, that would have been the first choice, would be, can
Right.
we lead it into the thing that dumps boiling lead onto it?
Right.
But
I think Ripley wasn't sure that would kill it. Like, you know,
yeah.
she knows firsthand how hard these things are to kill. She's never really I guess she's killed
Yeah.
some of the warriors and aliens, but like, you
Yeah.
know, as far as like the main alien, like in these movies, like she's successfully stopped them by jettisoning them into space,
True.
you know,
True.
and they just can't get to her. Like, you know, they're shown still being alive, at least for the moment, you know, and
Yeah.
it's.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, even the warrior aliens that had been killed and other ones are usually been killed by point blank
Right.
bullets or
Yeah.
fire. Yeah.
Right.
Or ran over by a car. But I mean, like, but yeah, they don't have any of those things. So yeah. But I think more to the point though, they just don't bring it up.
Right,
And
yeah.
so they're like, well, we can trap it in this thing if we set fires, But yeah, it's one of those things. But yeah, I mean, Dutton and as Dylan is a great character.
Right.
And then like we said, Charles Dance, my favorite character in the picture,
Right.
is so haunted, and haunting.
Yeah.
You know, he's creepy without being repellent.
Right.
You know, it's a fascinating performance. It's what he brought to Tywin Lannister in Game of Thrones too, where it's
Yeah,
like, you
yeah.
know, I know more than I'm telling you right now. And
Right.
you know, but he's our only sympathetic face, you
Right.
know, in the film as well. He's the only one that's sympathetic to Ripley. Although the random them hooking up randomly is a little odd, but
Yeah, I'm not sure why that happened, to be honest. I don't really know. Like, it just felt like really sudden. And I get that that's part of it. Like, you know, she's like, I could die at any moment, you know, like why not have like one last fling, you know?
and she's
And you know,
sad.
and the way it's attacked here, to where like I said, none of them are making, you know, or at least, you know, pretending like they're not making a big deal out of it. Like it's just hooking up, you know. It's just it's not like, you know, they've found true love and, you know, all that other shit. So that's kind of refreshing in its own way.
There's just there's not I don't know if there's that much chemistry between them
No, not like
to
that, at
set it
least.
up. Like there's some flirting,
Right.
but and that's acting, you know,
Right.
like they are acting, so you know it works, but it's a little out of left field. Like you said, it does. You're right. I mean, you can justify it, and the film does, but it's just a little out there,
Right.
to suddenly do that. But yeah, I mean, I think Clemens is a really interesting character.
Right.
I like the delivery of his tragic backstory, and then he's bumped off.
Yeah.
You know, it's as soon as that secret's out. You know, and he has a wry sense of humor that I think is a lot. So I mean, I get, and I applaud the movie for realizing killing him is a turning point.
Right.
You know, that is one of the best decisions they make, I think, as the narrative is that we're going to set up the guy who's a friendly face for Ripley. He's a friendly face for the audience. He's got a little bit of he's a little bit of comic relief, but not really.
Right.
He's a little. He's a sarcastic guy. And then like, okay, we're gonna kill him
Right.
and we're off to the races, you know. That's a great call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
I think it's you know, anything where you have Charles Dance in it, it's gonna be a good time. You know, he
I agree.
and especially if you write him the kind of way that they write him here, where, you know, he's got a dignity to him. He's got, you know, he's a little bit upper crust, in a working man's world, I guess you would want to say it that way. Yeah, I think it works really well. He's just, you know, turning in a great performance. I think I still like Charles S. Dutton's performance a little bit more, but that's just me. That's my favorite performance of the film.
Oh, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. I'm
Right,
like,
yeah,
yeah, I mean,
it's so close, yeah.
ultimately, I just think Clemens, I dig Clemens more just because I think I feel like I relate to him. I mean,
Right.
I want to keep in mind the scene he has with the warden next time I get in an argument with a supervisor. So I could just stand up
Right.
and say, I think I should leave. I find you
Right.
very unpleasant to be around.
Right.
And you can just say that to your boss.
Yeah.
It's like, but yeah, and I love that. I do like that scene an awful lot.
Especially somewhere like that, there's like, what are you gonna do? Fire me?
Are
You
you gonna
know?
fire me? Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it's you know, and us just the way he talks about the warden to Ripley, where he's like, and I've
Right.
already damaged my tenuous relationship with that very nice man. You know, and he's
Right.
just like he's like, oh, look, like he's a piece of shit. I hate
Yeah.
him. But yeah, I mean, it's a great, it's that's the only reason why I think I end up siding with Clemens is because I dig him.
Right.
But no, I mean, Dylan is, I think, kind of worth the price of admission. You
Right.
know, he is like I said, probably the two best line reads in the film and two best scenes in the film are him.
Right.
You know, saving Ripley from the rape attempt, and fighting the alien are probably the film's two best moments. And, you know, when he does do his sermons, you know, he does his prayer when Hicks and Newt are being tossed into the flame. You know, he has that very magnetic, very haunting prayer that he makes.
Right.
That, you know, Dutton just manages, it could have been campy, but he manages to keep it earnest.
Right.
And it's a great performance, no doubt.
How do you feel about Lance Henriksen as the human character at
the human
end?
Yeah, Bishop Right. Two, I think the script
Right.
calls him.
Yeah.
And supposedly, Fincher in particular was very adamant that he'd be human, not a robot.
Right. Right.
Because we watch the assembly cut, there's like he has two more lines of "I'm not a droid."
Yeah.
You know, he's still making sure the audience knows that very, very specifically. Why?
Right.
I don't know. He could have been.
I just feel like using him again at the end, like, was just like unnecessary. You know, we already had our Bishop scene, you know, and, you know, I think it went very well. You know, the kind of discussion they have of, you know, once again, of, you know, Bishop's personhood and him, you know, wanting to be unplugged, you know, is just, you know, perfect for that scene.
I agree. Yeah.
And then they bring Lance Henriksen back at the end for what's, you know, for so she could see a friendly face.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I'm the designer of the Bishop
right.
robot. Yeah. Which does beg
it
a question.
Like,
I mean,
yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've always been, Alien 3 is one of those movies I can't figure out how long it's been since Aliens.
Right.
You know, like Alien to Aliens, they specifically state it's been 57 years.
Right.
Alien 3, I'm like, well, I have no idea how long it's been. But
it can't be too long because
Lance
Henriksen's
aged
a few years.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen still looks like that. But at the same time, they mentioned when she says, we need to do an autopsy for cholera, and he's like, there hasn't been cholera for 200 years. I'm like, she's been sleeping for 200 years?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Where are we? When are we?
Right.
But what
year is this?
What year is it? Yeah, you should have had Dale Cooper walk around being like, what year is it? But yeah, it's but yeah, it's a little awkward. It's a little, I'm always happy to see Lance Henriksen.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not, but it felt like kind of an early version of, like, you know, modern Easter egg fan service culture. We're bringing Lance Henriksen back again. You know, it's like you already did that in this film, even if he didn't look a whole lot like Lance Henriksen, because he's
a
goddamn mess.
That, or it feels like somebody needed to answer a question that nobody asked.
Right.
Like, you know, well, who designed Bishop? I mean, well, the company did. We don't need to know that he designed it based on himself. In the commentary, Henriksen states that there was something to the idea of God made, you know, man in his own image. So Bishop was made from a man who looked like Bishop. But
right.
I was like, but Ash was there first. You know, we might as well have brought Ian Holm in, you know.
Right.
But honestly,
that's what they would have did nowadays if they made Alien 3.
Yeah. Or
they'd
just
brought him back from the first
Burke or
one.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just made it Burke or
Right.
Yeah. Yaphet Kotto.
Right. Michael Biehn shows up. I'm okay.
Yeah, it could have been Michael Biehn. It could have been, you know, maybe they bring back Veronica Cartwright. I don't know.
Right,
but,
right.
But yeah, it's jarring. I don't think it's a little jarring, but it's not that jarring. I think it works within the narrative. I mean, like, he shows up, and I don't disbelieve it.
Right.
You know. But yeah, I mean, it does, but it does feel a little bit also like, well, we paid Lance Henriksen.
Right.
We need to have him another scene. We just paid him to just be, to do a face model and do some voiceover work. That would be maybe a little bit of a waste of the paycheck. I don't know. But yeah, it's, I like him in that role. Although, and Lance, it does allow for Lance Henriksen to say my favorite thing on the commentary. He was like, I enjoyed playing the role, and I'm glad I got a chance to do it. The only thing I wasn't crazy about was playing somebody corporate, because I hate playing anything corporate. And I'm like, God bless you, Lance Henriksen. Yeah, he's just like, I don't like playing corporate men. You know, he's a character actor who likes to play blue collar. So he was a little bit concerned about that. But yeah, and the look, they put him in a cool costume. It looks very anime. You know, it's I mean, ultimately, I don't hate the ending of Alien 3. You know, him coming in, and like I said, 85, ultimately we didn't need him. But I do like, you know, him holding on to Faith until it the very, very end. And once they shoot Morse, he tries to fight back and they kill him. You know, and him, you know, Lance Henriksen, you know, hamming it up a bit. You know, he's a hammy villain. He might as well twirl his mustache, you know. You know, he's like, oh, you have to trust me. I'm a really nice guy. I mean, like, no, you're not.
My
You can,
children love me.
yeah.
My wife definitely never left me.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, I definitely have good qualities. You know, I'm not a villain. But yeah, I like it. I don't know if I mean, I know that it's one of those things that's got the canon muddy. Especially if you consider Alien versus Predator canon. Now it makes no sense. Because then he plays Wayland in the first Alien versus Predator movie. Which also makes the meme about Bill Paxton incorrect, by the way. The meme of Bill Paxton is the only man to be killed by a Predator, an alien, and a Terminator. Like,
Oh,
no,
right.
Henriksen was also killed by all three.
Yep.
Technically, kinda, anyway. But yeah, the but yeah, so I mean, I guess it gets muddy. And then, of course, like, we're gonna talk about Prometheus in a couple weeks, where we got Guy Pearce playing Wayland. So now it's all over the place. That's anybody goes. But yeah.
And they treat canon in this series the way you should treat canon. Like, it's, the story comes first and then there's canon. I mean, if you
Yeah.
were to go by canon in this one, like, Ripley wouldn't have had the aliens, Alien Resurrection, like, because she already gave birth to the thing and it was a separate creature from her,
Yeah.
when they cloned her.
Yeah.
And yet
Well, I
they
think.
show all these clones of, like half, stuck in her chest and half not, and
I'll look for that, because I think they state that it's
I could be misremembering it.
I
It's been a while
think
since
they
seen
state
Resurrection.
that the DNA they got was from an was from the cryo tube or something like that. It's hand waved. I mean, like, why they have DNA from that, who knows? And how they get alien DNA from that, who knows? Alien Resurrection is the stupidest thing you've ever seen anyway. So it's gonna, you know, and we're gonna have a good time
But
talking
it's got
about it,
Ron
because,
Perlman, so
well, we're gonna have a great time talking about it because it's a blast of a movie. But it's the stupidest thing ever. Whereas Alien 3, I think it's pretty stupid, but it doesn't think it's stupid. And maybe if it did have some inkling of it, it may have been a little bit more of a watchable film. I don't know. But I do. I mean, I don't dislike Alien 3.
No, me neither. I like it as much as I like, the Alien franchise, and that's
Yeah,
quite a bit.
I think, as you put it, yeah, like, you even like the bad ones, you know, like, Alien is it's always fun. Except maybe Alien versus Predator Requiem, probably the only time it's not fun. But
Yeah, I don't really think about those films too much, to be honest. And
I'd
I
almost
certainly
pitch
don't think of
you.
them as part of the series.
Yeah, I'd almost pitch you to be like, let's do all the Alien, and then we'll do Alien versus Predator, Alien versus Predator 2, and then all the Predators. Just do that all in a row.
I mean, I'm sure we'll
But
get to them because they're fucking ridiculous, but and Alien versus Predator has my favorite art house director behind it, so
Who's that?
Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He did that one, didn't he?
The
Did
man
he
who
do
doesn't
the
know how to make the worst schlock ever,
Did he make the sequel?
No.
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 Yeah.
I think he was doing another Resident Evil at that point.
He did all of those except one, I think.
Right.
So one of them. I don't mean number one. He did number one, but one of them,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the third one or something. The one that got
Right.
retconned, I think, was not W.S. Anderson.
Yeah.
Or half retconned.
Right.
That series is a blast. Talk about fucked up canon.
Right.
That series is unbelievable how stupid that gets, but
I
it's
watched a YouTube video about a month or two back, like that was like explaining the entire canon of those movies, and it was like 2.5 hours
two
long.
hours long. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
And I wish I could remember who did it because it was a well done video, but yeah, it was a long video and
I watched the whole thing
still
and like,
confusing.
yeah, I watched that whole series when I first moved into this apartment. I didn't have
Right.
internet. I pulled it off the shelf. I have the cheapo Walmart
Right.
six movie DVD set.
Right.
And I threw on and I watched just the first one originally. And I was like, I'll watch the second one. And then I was like, all right, I'm in. And I
Right.
watched all of them. And I had never seen at least the last three of them. And I watched all of them in a row. And I had a blast being like, okay,
Yeah.
so the last movie didn't happen.
But then
That's
they kind of do
awesome.
that like with each movie, like each movie, like, oh, the last movie didn't really happen. Or
They
oh, let's
kind
yeah.
of do the more like the Mortal Kombat Annihilation thing where like, well, okay, Johnny Cage was a major character in the last movie, but he's
Right.
killed off within the
Yeah.
first 30 seconds of the sequel. It's that kind of
And
retconning.
they can never kind
Yeah.
of figure out if they want her to have powers or not. Like they keep
Well,
giving
that's the
her
thing.
powers and taking them away.
The one where she really got powers is the one they mostly retcon out. And then in the next
Right.
film, she has them at the
Right.
beginning and then
Right. And
they
they take
write
them
them out.
away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They write them out. Within the, in the opening sequence, they write them
Right.
out. And then they kind of give them back at the very, very end, of
Right.
the series, two movies later. They kind of give them back. And, but yeah, I mean, talk about a completely perplexing canon. The
Yeah.
Resident Evil films make no sense, but they're a lot of fun, most of them anyway.
And for
But
fans of the games don't make any more sense than the movies do. Just admit it, guys, you know?
I don't think I've ever played any of them, so I mean,
Oh.
do they have, I mean, I assume, I know there's a story somewhere in there, but
I
you
mean, they
know.
each have their stories. They each, you know, have like, you know, Umbrella or the remnants of Umbrella as like, you know, the bad guys. But like, you know, they don't care as much about like, you know, having a story from game to game as much as just having a good game, you know. So they don't really care, you know.
But it's like, you know, as opposed to Silent Hill, which had no concurrent narrative really. It was
Right.
just different Silent Hills each
Yeah.
time, because it was easier than trying to weave it all together.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and I think you're right that the Alien franchise was always pretty good about being attentive to canon without
Right.
caring about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that they wanted, and I think that's why Bishop was there. I think it's supposed to just add a little bit more of a connection to the overall series. Why
Right.
the evil Bishop is there at the end of it is to just give some sort of running canon tissue.
Right.
Was it necessary? Probably not. But I mean, I guess it would have, I guess it, I don't know if it would have made any more sense if they had just grabbed some guy to do it.
Right.
You know, if the ending of this movie is we need somebody that can, that is supposed to be able to convince Ripley to give up the alien, I guess it would be, you know, we got a guy who looks like Bishop, so I guess that makes sense.
Right.
But you know,
One of the things I
it,
noticed in this walkthrough, not this walkthrough,
watch through
I'm
it.
thinking video games still apparently. Yeah, this watch through is like that the corporation doesn't seem to do much in these films, like the Weyland-Yutani Corporation. Like they just seem to do the same thing every time. Like bring us an alien, everybody else can go screw themselves. You know, there's not really much difference between Alien 1, 2, and 3 and the way that the corporation acts or does things. Because as we'll get into next week, like, you know, I was always like a little bummed that in Alien Resurrection, like the corporation was no more and like, you know, that wasn't like a factor in the film at all. But like watching it this time through, I'm like, well, what would they do? They would do the exact same thing that they've done in the last three films, you know?
Well, I think I think the corporate it's we're gonna talk about the show about this about Alien Resurrection's connection to Firefly next week, but and how it was sort of a test run for a lot of ideas for Firefly, but one of them being that the implication to me anyway is that Weyland-Yutani basically is just the government by the last film. They don't call it Weyland-Yutani anymore. It's just the New World Order. But I think it's supposed to still be Weyland-Yutani, I think. But yeah, but yeah, I mean, it ultimately the isolation of Alien 3 would be the reason why they don't really do anything. But Ripley's jump is to the company will want it is sort of, I mean, not necessarily completely out of left field, but
No.
The order of mother, the standing order in the first movie was to get the alien crew expendable because that was the goal of the mission was not to get the alien until they found one. And then the company was like, well, no, keep that. The rest of it can go to hell as long as we get that. In Aliens, the company itself doesn't show much interest in the alien. Remember, they don't believe her. Burke does. Burke wants the alien in that movie. So it's not Aliens. So Ripley's, insistence that the company would want it, I guess, is more based off the original film than Aliens, although she does say the Marines were expendable, but there was no actual, they were expendable to Burke, but they weren't, the company never gave an order to Burke.
Well, I think, yeah, I think they had some sort of, want of the alien too, because, like, if, and that's one of the things with aliens that I never quite got is, like, when did they make that jump between believing or not believing her and believing her? Because, they sent, like, a whole troop of Marines to take back this colony, and they're decked out for a firefight, with something. It's not just a an advanced scout team to go reestablish communications with the colony. It's just like they send drop troops, and so I
Well,
feel
I
like
think
there's a
they,
point in there where they do believe her at that,
well, Burke does.
right.
But I always read I read Aliens as the company just sent Marines in case something went wrong, that something killed those colonists, and they send in an armed response just in case. Because even the even you know Hudson even talks about, is this a real mission or are we just, is it a bug hunt, which basically means the same thing as, are we just jerking off here? Are we going to have a fight this time or are we just wasting our time? Burke seems to get Ripley involved. But then Burke more or less states he was acting on, he's acting on his own accord. He wants to, he's going to get the alien, get, Ripley and Newt, impregnated with aliens, and then he's going to kill everybody else. And then when he gets back, he can then get a raise from the company
Step three,
because,
profit. No.
step three profit. It's not suggested that the company sent him with that explicit rule. In fact, the company, what we saw of them outside of Burke, didn't seem particularly interested in her story, despite the fact that she does say, then why did the computer tell Ash to kill the rest of us and save the alien? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And they don't seem to know what they're talking about. But at the same time, the people in that boardroom in Aliens could have just been some assholes, the real power is somewhere else. But yeah, so I mean it's not necessarily out of left field that Ripley would be like the company would want to keep it. But that's what I mean is that at least the involvement of Lance Henriksen at least gives some, she considers it for a second. She considers believing him. We say, no, we really want to destroy it. It's really awful. We think it probably should be destroyed. And then she's like, when she gets, cold feet on it, she's like, no, I don't believe that. But yeah, the It's also explicitly stated she's a queen. That's where the canon gets confusing for me too, is also like the time of gestation is much
is way off, right?
Yeah, it seems much longer in Alien 3. She has it for a few days. Dallas, Kane in the first one gives birth within like 3 hours. Or 6 hours, whatever, a few hours.
You know,
less than
maybe
a day.
The alien had sickness, had, you know, cryo sleep sickness too, and was just feeling lethargic, you know.
The only thing I could think of, and I'm and I would assume this is where what fans would assume, was that it's a longer gestation period for a queen,
right?
That would be my assumption. But because I think we're gonna see it again in next week, where gestation period is a couple hours,
very short.
It's not a long period. So I mean, I guess it's because she's a queen, it's longer. I don't know. But I think more importantly, it doesn't matter.
No,
like you
I
said,
mean, if you start getting into it, you know, it's like you start asking questions about, like, you know, where do these aliens get all the mass and energy from, you know, when, you know, they're not, when there's only like one person aboard and they, you know, pop out of their chest in 2 hours, you know, how does that something grow that fast? And
why
know,
do they grow that fast?
Because
the first movie does kind of suggest it's eating,
right? And where does, you know, but you just start getting into nitpicky areas that,
you're wasting your time,
right?
Yeah, the xenomorph works because it doesn't make any sense,
right?
I mean, like, it's the they're like, they call it a perfect organism, but I'm like, actually, it's pretty inefficient for a perfect organism, but sure,
right? It's got to go through all these different stages, and it's just like, you know, like the fully grown alien, yes, it's a perfect organism, but the rest of it's like,
it skipped a couple evolutionary
sus,
steps.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
No,
do you have
anything
anything
else?
Else?
No, I'm tapped out.
Yeah. So overall, Alien 3 better now for you than then, or
about the same? I still
about
like
the same.
It. It's
Like,
enjoy the film. I've always had fun with it, and it's just, I watch it so seldomly that I forget how much it drags in the middle. You remember the good parts. You remember the parts that are, you know, really engaging, but not like, you know, the repetitive, you know, aspects of it. And I still think the assembly cut is the way to go. The special edition is the way to go with this one.
I think I agree.
It just makes more sense. Like, I know I said last time, like, the special edition of Aliens was like a little unnecessary, because it didn't add anything story wise. But this one, like, the story makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. There are little pieces that help make the film feel more complete.
Right.
In the assembly cut of, or a special edition rather.
Yeah.
Of Alien.
They should
3,
get Ridley Scott to do a final cut and, you know, shorten up the assembly cut and make it, do it like Blade Runner and, do a final cut of it.
Yeah. That'll be, in a few years, they'll have the new Alien box set of everything,
right?
And it will be, 17 different versions of each film,
right?
Yeah,
and they'll fix Prometheus, and then everything will be good.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I'm actually kind of surprised that Prometheus does not have a special edition yet, but that there's no director's cut or I fixed it, moment from him, but yeah, we'll get to Prometheus too.
Yep, so we'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, you want to check us out?
Sure. As always, we'll say thank you very much for listening. We remind you to keep it positive, keep it constructive. Love yourself, love your fellow horror fans. Be nice to each other. And thank you very much. Good night and namaste.